Being here with us on Christmas Eve, Luke informed me, according to the internet, that yesterday was Christmas Adam. Because Adam came before Eve. So December 20th. Anyway, you know, that was the same response I gave to Luke last night. And he goes, Dad, isn't that kind of funny? No, not really. Anyway. Okay, let's get right into the text this morning. We are here to celebrate a wonderful event that took place in our lives and in the history of the world, and that is the birth of Christ. We've been working through this series, this one Christmas series, for the past few weeks. It started with the virgin birth, the significance of the virgin birth, and then the significance of the name of Jesus and the significance of being born in Bethlehem, as we talked about last week. And now today, we're going to talk about the Savior is born. And there's going to be this communication to some shepherds. And in fact, this is probably, I believe, the first time in history where there was a call to worship Jesus Christ. And as I was studying the passage this week, that struck me, and how awesome that is to see when we look in our text today. How they were called to go and to worship this Savior and this King that was going to ultimately change the world, change my life, your life, the world's life, and the shepherd's life in this moment that we're going to see in our text today. In fact, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Luke with me. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14 here this morning. And then this evening, we'll pick up at verse 15 and kind of finish off the Christmas Eve services and story of Christ and His birth. So why don't you join with me and follow along in your word, God's word that you have in front of you this morning. And we're going to begin in verse 8 of Luke 2, and it says this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is well pleased." Pray with me. Father God, we are thankful for Christmas. We are thankful for the stories that You have preserved over all of these years. Gracious Father, as we interact with this text today, and even in my own struggles this past week of just realizing how often we talk about this story at Christmas time, and how over and over and over we see the same thing. And God, we don't want it to just be a routine. We want to be impacted and influenced by the power of Your Word. God, You have shown us through the Scriptures that Your Word is powerful. And it's good, and it is here to equip us for every good work. And Lord, even this morning on Christmas Eve in 2017, as we gather on 120 Michigan Avenue, we have an opportunity to glean from Your Word. And God, I pray that this wouldn't be just another message. I pray that this wouldn't be just another a Christmas Eve service. But this would be an opportunity for us to grow in a greater relationship and a greater intimacy with You. Father, You have called us to be Your ambassadors. And we are not just to go through the motions, but we are to be workers for You and serving You. So God, we give You the praise and glory for creating us and making us Your workmanship, creating us to do good works. And Lord, today as we gather together, may that be even more true for us as we journey through interacting with family members and friends and different people this Christmas season. God, thank you for the power of the Word and the time that we get to spend in it this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you keep your eyes in your Word that is in front of you. Hopefully you brought a Bible. If not, hopefully there's one in front of you in the chair. I'm going to be reading from the ESV this morning. That's what we're going to be looking at. I just want to share a few highlights with you before I get into some of the notes. First of all, the thing I want you to see in this text, beginning in verse 8, is that they were in the same region. Okay, so they were in the Bethlehem area with the rest of, or with Mary and Joseph, as Mary and Joseph went because of the census. And so they're in this region, and the text says to us in verse 8 here that they're in the field, these shepherds are. This would be an indication that these were common people that were keeping watch over their flock. This was not during the day, but it was by night, according to the text in verse 8. And so they weren't just common people, but also common work. And they were serving in a way of keeping track of the different sheep that they were in care for. We see in verse 9 that there is an angel of the Lord that appears. And this wasn't just some individual that popped over top of the mountain, but the text goes on to say this was an angel that appeared, that the glory of the Lord shone around them in verse 9. And it wasn't just shown around this individual angel, as you see in your text that says them, but it would be around the shepherds as well. And so this would be one of those bright light experiences. This would be an impactful event that took place in these individuals' lives. We go on in verse 9, and we come to the end of verse 9, and it says, and they were filled with great fear. Now, I can only imagine, you know, what that must have been like. They're just minding my own business and maybe starting to doze off a little bit and wanting to care for the sheep and all those little details of being a shepherd. And suddenly, here's this this angel appears. I think that we learned in a Christmas play the word was Shazam, right? Is that right? First Baptist Church, Shazam! And here came this angel of the Lord presenting the angel's self before these shepherds. This fear came over them. Now remember, there was great silence that took place, and I've talked to you about this before as we worked through Christmas and even as you think about Old Testament to New Testament. But if you go to the book of Matthew and in between Matthew and Malachi, you would see this blank page. And this blank page for me and what I was reminded of in Bible college is the significance of it is 400 years of silence. And so God really never communicated according to the Word to anyone until ultimately the birth of Christ and the birth of John the Baptist and that communication. And so this would be a shocking moment that this supernatural event happens where this angel comes on the scene and begins to communicate with the shepherds. It's no wonder they were filled with fear. But the angel ultimately says, and this is the Phillips version, that would be my version, the angel ultimately said, hey dudes, relax, okay? Everything is cool because God has done something pretty amazing. Is that what your guys' versions say there in your text? Right? Pretty much, in a roundabout way. You need to relax because God has done something really cool and really awesome. In fact, I want to tell you about it. And he says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And I can only imagine when these words were communicated, because just because these people were shepherds doesn't mean that they were ignorant. Doesn't mean that they didn't understand maybe the prophecy of Christ and Christ's coming. In fact, maybe these guys were shepherding and anticipating and longing for this Jesus to come. Well, what was revealed to them in this moment is that this in the city of David in Bethlehem, there is a Savior that has come. It is the Christ. It is the Lord. It is the one that will save His people. And I can only imagine at that moment, this sigh of relief and almost this sitting on the edge of their seat, wanting to know more and hear more. So the angel goes on to say in verse 12, well, there's going to be a sign. You're going to find this baby. It's going to be wrapped up and it's going to be in this manger. And if you don't believe just my message, I'm going to summon the rest of my angels, all the rest of these angels to come. And this whole heavenly host of angels show up on the scene. And they begin to proclaim, and they start by saying in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. This is no act of man. There is no credit that man should get for this. And in fact, the credit goes to God, the God in the highest, the God in the heavens. He is the one that gets the praise for everything that this first angel shared. They go on to explain and to say, and it is on earth that peace has come, specifically to those whom God is pleased. When we think about this Savior that is born, what I see in this text is that there's some proof. There's this angel that's coming that's wanting to show these shepherds that there is truly good news that has come. And this proof begins by what the angel has said. Now, I don't want to discredit the fact that it is in the city of David in verse 11, discredit the fact that it is Christ the Lord and that it's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I don't want to discredit that. But that's not what I want to focus in on this morning about what the angel has spoke. In fact, the key verses that we're going to look at this morning are going to be verse 10 and verse 14. Because in verse 10 and verse 14, there's a powerful message that has been communicated that motivated the shepherds to do something amazing. And I believe could motivate us as a people to do something amazing for the glory of God. So let's start by just looking at this. First thing that we see that the angel says here is to fear not in verse 10. All right? It is this calm down. I kind of already talked about it a little bit. It's this relax idea. It's take it easy. You've got nothing to fear here whatsoever. Even though there's this big deal and these big lights and all of this extravagant look, this supernatural thing that is taking place, you need to settle down. And the reason you need to settle down is because I bring good news. Okay? The reason you need to relax is because I bring good news. How many of you have ever experienced somebody in your life that has been a little rattled, a little crazy, a little out of control because of everything going on around there in their lives? Anybody ever experienced that? How many of you are married to one of those people? Okay, put your hand back down. You guys, you got to look at this. First of all, these people are rattled. These shepherds are rattled because of the fact that this supernatural act has just happened with these angels that have showed up. Okay? That's rattle number one. But what you need to really understand, what I think we forget so often, is the other part of this. What hope did these shepherds have? What hope, what were they looking forward to as a result of God or God's involvement in their lives? If there truly was these 400 years of silence and there was zero activity between God and man in that time period, that would be a very lonely time. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you felt like God wasn't with you, that you didn't really communicate with God very well, that there was this distance? How many of you liked being there? None of us, right? We want God with us. We want that relationship. And I believe these shepherds were longing for the same thing. And so this angel shows up and says, hey guys, don't be afraid, not just in not being afraid of the supernatural act that just happened, but don't be afraid in general. Don't be afraid in life. Because God has shown up on the scene. I've got good news. And as we saw, and you can take your eyes back to verse 11, but as we see, this good news is today there's a Savior that's born in the city of David. The one that was prophesied about that we saw last week in the book of Micah. And it is the Savior that is going to take care of the bondage or the burden that was on the people at this time period. This is a God that's going to show up on the scene of earth and be able to take care of the problems of the world. This wasn't just good news, but this was good news of great joy, the text says. God provided joy. God wasn't just providing a newspaper article And showing that, hey, I've got good news. Hey, there's a good report here. But this went beyond just saying it, but it was actually an action involved. And this great joy was through His work and through His provision of peace, as we'll see in verse 14. God showed up on the scene and He poured Himself out as a baby on this earth to provide peace in a very peaceless society. In a very peaceless time in this world of that 400 years of quietness. It wasn't just good news of great joy, but he was also, the angel said, I bring good news of great joy for all the people. This wasn't limited to just a certain group of people, but this was for all the people. It wasn't limited to just the angels and having this information. It wasn't just limited to the shepherds. It wasn't just limited to the little town of Bethlehem. And in fact, at this point in Bethlehem, it was for Israel. And we can expound on it even a little further as we know the rest of the text, that we know that Jesus Christ came and this good news was given and this great joy, and all the people included, even us, the Gentiles. This was truly good news. But see, this wasn't just some good earthly news. This was supernatural. This was spectacular. This was an everlasting good news. I've got good news. You've won the lottery. Is that good news? Okay, maybe. Is it everlasting good news? How long does that money last? What are you going to do with that money in order to figure out how to have it for a long period of time? Hey, guess what? I've got good news. You are completely a healthy person. Oh, by the way, there's a 1-in-1 chance you're going to die, though. Right? I mean, oh, you're free of this disease. Oh, praise the Lord. How awesome is that? But probably in 20 years, because you're 60, probably in 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to die anyway. Oh, maybe this isn't such good news. Think about the football team in St. Louis making the playoffs. And I remember being in at the Blue Shamrock and we heard the news that St. Louis made the playoffs for the first time in history. That's good news. 2 games later, we lost. Do you think that was good news? That's cruel. That's punishing. Roller coaster ride, right? This past week, the Michigan Supreme Court, I work in the schools now, right? So this last week, the Michigan Supreme Court ruled for $550 million settlement. Anybody ever heard about this? If you're a teacher, you heard about this. Obi, expect your giving to go up. Praise the Lord. Anyway, but there's a $550 million settlement that teachers that were teachers in, I think, 2010 and 11 and part of 12, they get like 3% of their wages back because the government, the state of Michigan, actually took from them. Okay. I had a teacher come out of her classroom, okay, in the middle of a school day, screaming, hooting, and hollering of the good news that she received. It was not Obi, okay? And there's another teacher that was down the way, and she screams, and hollers this guy's name. And I'm just like, wow, you know, that's pretty awesome. That's really good news. But is that everlasting news? Is that news that's going to bring great joy forever? Is that joy? Because there's really nothing wrong with celebrating this good news that I've just mentioned of the lottery and of good health and making the playoffs and the settlement for the teachers. And state. There's nothing wrong with it. But how long will this news be good news? And you see, the key to the good news that was presented here to these shepherds, the key to this good news is that this was everlasting news. This was eternal news. This was news that was not going to just impact this little town for this little bit of time, but this was news that was going to change the world forever. Is that good news to you guys? And do we really stop and think about how powerful this news is? Because as I think about these shepherds and the things that they were going through and processing, and this angel has come and they're overwhelmed. But I tell you what, when God brings news, good or bad, when news comes your way, and if God is somewhere involved in your life, I'm going to tell you right now that it's not necessarily good or it's not necessarily bad. It's news that we have to deal with. And when God is with us, who can be against us? And when God showed up on this earth and for these shepherds, that was the moment in time that the eyes were open and they realized that God is with us and God is for us. One angel wasn't enough, but there had to be multiple angels that showed up on the scene. And these multitude of the heavenly hosts were praising God and saying at the end of verse 13. And the statements that they made was glory to God. And I've already alluded to it. How they were looking at God and said, God did a good thing here. He deserves the credit. He deserves the praise for what has taken place. This thing that God had done was provided peace on earth. It was a peace that I think that we see in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, that this peace that guards the heart and guards the mind, this peace that is beyond understanding and recognition and just overwhelmed by the presence of God. That's what this peace is ultimately talking about. And it was this peace that was on this earth with those whom God is pleased. And again, it's that imagery and picture of us not being alone, but having God with us and having God on our side. I had an individual this past week ask me the question that do you think that God takes care of and helps people that doesn't have an intimate personal relationship with the Christ or with Him through Christ? And I said, I don't think that God is outside of, or they're outside of God's control. But I'm going to tell you right now that they're going to be treated in a way that is totally different. There's going to be a lot of justice for those people and in their lives. And with us that have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, there's a lot of grace and mercy that exists in our life. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I've experienced that. I'm an idiot sometimes in my life. I make a lot of mistakes. There's sinfulness that happens here. But you know what? I got a God that is for me. I've got a God that is on my side. I've got a God that is going to draw me back into His intimate and personal relationship with Him. That is true peace, and the peace that is talked about here in this passage that has come to this earth. Even in our wrong and even in our mistreatment of God and our misunderstanding of who God is, God continues to draw us back and to provide for us. So this angel shows up, these other angels show up, and there's great things that begin to happen in these shepherds' lives. And in fact, the result of all of this is that the shepherds listened. Notice that I didn't put on here that the shepherds heard or the shepherds hear. Because how many times are we with somebody and we hear somebody talk, but we really aren't listening? Anybody, does that apply? Trey, raise your hand. Trey, right here. Trey Moss. Yep. Because you're a child and you have a mom.
Husbands, raise
your hand, because that happens to us all the time. Okay? Yeah, we get into this position where we may be hearing. And I think about it when I'm in the shop and I have my muffs on and I'm protecting my ears. And I'm hearing what somebody might be saying, what Dale's saying, but I'm really not listening. Or when I'm at the basketball game, and because I didn't wear my earmuffs at the wood shop, and I have all these loud noises going on in my head, and somebody's talking to me about two seats down in the bleachers, and all this other noise is going on, and they're doing this, and I hear them, but I'm not really listening because I can't pick out what they're actually saying to me. The shepherds listen. The shepherds heard and they listened to what the angels had to say to them. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. This hearing idea is just meh. But the listening is there's an action that's involved with it. And for the shepherds, the result was just not that they listened, but that they believed, that they were intrigued, that they were sitting on their edge of their seats waiting for the next instructions and communication. And in fact, sneak peek into tonight's message, but if you go to 15, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. This wasn't just some event that they stopped and said, oh, that's kind of cool. But it was an event that happened that said, I hear it, I believe it, and now I'm going to follow. I'm going to actually go. I'm going to actually take part in everything that has happened here. And I'm going to celebrate this fact of the work that God has done by bringing this child to this earth. Here's a takeaway for this morning. And I just want to mark your clocks at 10:48 as I'm coming to my conclusion. Because the next guy that comes up, we'll see if he gets done by 11. And so the takeaway for this day today is listen. The takeaway is to listen. Because sometimes I think we get to this Christmas season, and I think that this is true of year round. It's just amplified at Christmas. But I think we allow all of the outside things that are around us to smother out the supernatural and the big things that God's doing in our lives. And we need to listen. And we need to listen to the good news. Because you guys, this news is what changed the world. This news is what's changed your lives. And we need to listen to the great joy. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a lot of joy that's going on in your heart right now, and it doesn't have to go on because it's Christmas Eve, because it's the Christmas season, the joy needs to be found there because of the work of God in your lives, because a Savior has come and was been born. And that He went to a tree, and that He was buried in the ground, and that He was raised from the dead. That's where our joy should be found, and that's the good news of Christ. And if we listen to this good news, and we listen to this great joy, that's when we truly experience peace on earth. That's when we experience the peace that we're all longing for. That's when we experience the peace that we're all longing to see other people experience. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm seeing a world right now that doesn't have a whole lot of peace in it. I'm seeing a world right now that's distraught and in a crazy mess. And here we are that have the great news and the great joy to spread this peace on this earth. One final phrase that I want to make here this morning is there's a song, I don't know how old it is, it's probably a kind of an older song. But the title of it is The Gospel. Who sings it? The Gospel. No? You don't know who it is? Look it up. Just put down The Gospel and look it up today. But here's a phrase that is in this song that is very powerful. The singer says this, the amazing news of the Gospel is not that we can receive Jesus into our lives, but that He has already received us into His. Folks, that is great news. That is what provides the great joy. That is the ultimate peace. We need to rejoice because Jesus has come to save the world. Let us pray.